We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. Lindsey Patterson, Charlie Goldsmith. Charlie, the Bengals wrapped up another day at training camp. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Anthony Munoz was there. There was a intense post-practice, I guess you'd call it talk, pep talk between Munoz, Pollock, and the Bengals offensive line. And Lindsey, there's a lot to discuss.
There's a lot to discuss. And when you say that with the offense, if you follow Charlie Goldsmith on Twitter, you should be. He said we were going to have a lot to talk about with this offense. And I think if you were to recap the last week and a half with the Cincinnati Bengals and training camp and the way the offense has looked is a little questionable, but I'm going to have you dive right into it. What's going on?
Cut me off whenever, because there's a lot of nuance to this conversation. And before you get to the offense, I do think you have to start with the defense. It's weird because training camp is in a lot of ways a zero-sum game. As good as the offense or as poor as the offense looks, that's good for the defense. And with that, you can start with Sam Hubbard, who I think won every single one-on-one rep today, whether it was with a quarterback in 11-on-11s or just one-on-one with an offensive lineman on the side. It was the first day they put on pads, and Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson as well looked great in the secondary. You know, earlier today, Von Bell spoke about the swagger in that unit. The confidence, the winning experience, the buy-in, and that's translated as well. But on the flip side of those two things is an offense and specifically a passing game that has not been able to get anything done all week.
Do you think we'll start with the defense right now, because everyone will say iron sharpens iron, and we'll get to all the offensive problems in just a little bit. There's a little bit of a, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. You look at what the defense is being able to do. And obviously I feel like the secondary has been upgraded. Their biggest problem is getting to the quarterback and just really having that pressure. Seeing guys like Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson step up, it's like good and bad for this team right now.
Yeah. So we'll get to the offense later. That'll be a separate conversation, but let me make this point quick. I don't think there's anything that could happen in training camp that could make me think the Bengals will have a bad offense this season. But there is something in training camp that can give me more confidence in Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson and the defensive line and the secondary to be a productive unit. And yes, I am seeing that. You know, Sam Hubbard's a great place to start. Just first physically, I noticed a significant difference in just his burst on the edge. He blew up every play. Now, part of that was what he was going up against. We'll get to that in a second. There was an interior pass rush. What's really interesting, too, is the Bengals really are switching it up in how they have their defensive linemen line up, which technique they're lining up in, which stance they're lining up in. There's a lot more change there. Sam Hubbard has talked about doing more linebacker-type things this season, and I noticed that for sure today. So on the edge specifically, I'm very impressed. And then in the secondary, Trey Waynes was out today, yet the secondary was still very good. Eli Apple has had two great days of camp. He had multiple pass breakups today. I think Chidobe Awuzie might be the player of camp so far. And if it's not him, it's Von Bell, who went back and watched every pass coverage break or every pass coverage air he had last season and asked himself, what can I do so I don't look the way I did against, say, Evan Engram or Mark Andrews, tight ends he really struggled against. So we'll get to the negative, but as much as there is negative, again, because training camp is a zero-sum game, there is that positive with the way Chidobe Awuzie can break up passes, the real tangible steps that Von Bell has taken in pass coverage, the depth in the secondary, and lastly, Sam Hubbard. You know, he looks better than I've ever seen him.
That's not a bad thing with a guy that they just extended. We'll flip to the offensive line right now before we get to Joe Burrow and the wide receivers and everything like that, because that's been the talk. It's been the talk for the last couple years with this team. Obviously, the biggest weakness. Then you get Jackson Carmen in there getting some first-team reps. How has Jackson Carmen looked? And look, for me personally, when I think about an offensive lineman in training camp, we're really not going to be able to tell what this unit's going to look like together until week one, week two of regular season.
Yes, so Deontay Smith filling in for Riley Reiff was the area of most concern on the Bengals offensive line right now. You know, we'll get to Smith later, but with Jackson Carmen in particular, that pressure was still coming off the right side. Jackson Carmen, we lose sight so easily that he's switching new positions. What that really means too is that he completely has to change his body composition. Coming off surgery this offseason, he went through a lot to physically prepare to be a tackle. And then in the end of April, you have to completely switch and do the preparation you need to become a guard. Now, we talked to Jackson today. He said Frank Pollock is as good as any coach he's worked with. Pollock has taken such an interest in Carmen, vocal, passionate messages that Carmen says is, he says, we're all here to win, and I need this. I need to hear this. But the thing about Jackson Carmen, I called him the most interesting player in camp, non-Joe Burrow. And that's because when the Bengals went out to improve their offensive line last season, they did three things. Pollock, it was Reef, and it was Carmen. Well, Pollock is the coach, and it's a question how much coaching can impact. Obviously, I expect an upgrade there because of coaching. But the real two big upgrades were Reef and Carmen. Well, Reef is hurt right now, and Carmen is fully competing for a starting spot and has not had a pop standout moment yet. Now, he also hasn't been put on his back. He also hasn't completely lost a matchup or whiffed on a block, but he is still fully competing for a starting spot that honestly, when the Bengals drafted, I assumed would be his.
Give us the latest with the Riley Reef injury, because the time that he had been able to be out there, right tackle, it obviously was a difference on the offensive line. And this looks like a little bit of trouble if he's not out there at the right tackle position when it comes to depth and just a starter in that area.
So just with the way training camp worked with media and access, we haven't been able to ask any coaches yet, or of course haven't been able to ask Riley the severity of this injury. Here's what we know. We know that on Jermaine's Pratt pick to end practice on Monday, Riley Reef got tripped up and fell and didn't look at full strength, kind of walking off the field. After that, we didn't see Riley Reef again until practice today. When practice was starting, Riley Reef was in the back wearing shorts, riding the stationary bike, watching the offensive lineman. He was not on the rehab field with, say, a Larry Ogunjobi or a Trey Waynes doing a lot of, you know, running, conditioning, cardio. What that means, I have no idea. You know, we don't have a timeline yet, whether it's day to day, week to week, or at all. We'll get that information, you know, I expect tomorrow. But Riley Reef was not practicing today, and he was not active today instead of riding, except for riding on a bike.
So if you're the Cincinnati Bengals right now, and we don't know the timetable with Riley Reef, we are taking this day to day. It's Tuesday as we're recording this after training camp. They will have Thursday off. They get back to practice tomorrow. Are you're there probably wanting to bring some more bodies in because you don't feel like that guy is in this room right now.
So a tackle, Fred Johnson, is week to week with the quad injury. Zach Taylor didn't get too specific into the severity of that injury, but he said, you know, a week kind of vaguely in that timeline. Fred Johnson also was not rehabbing today. There was a moment where the two injured tackles, Fred Johnson and Akeem Adeniji, were coaching Deontay Smith up in a big way after Sam Hubbard beat him again. And I didn't see Johnson like on the rehab field today conditioning either. Again, what that means, I don't know. Just providing that information and that update. You know, when the Bengals drafted Deontay Smith, he was pegged as a developmental tackle. He's basically played a year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years of college football, missed his entire 2020 season and his entire 2020 offseason. Didn't get to train because of COVID. Then comes in first day of like when they start the weightlifting and training camp sessions, COVID protocols keep him out for most of camp. Then in the season opener, kind of as a result of a lot of that, he gets a concussion and another injury that kind of keep him out for the entire year. He only played one game in 2020. So Deontay Smith has not played football in a long time. And while he has every tool and he has the arm length and he has the athleticism that the Bengals love from their offensive tackles, the experience is the one thing he doesn't have. And that's what Sam Hubbard showed him today. And as long as Riley Reef is out, tackle is a big weakness for the Bengals.
Yeah, he's going to be a project for Frank Pollock over the next couple of years. Move over to the left side before we get to wide receivers right now. Overall, on the offensive line, we take the right side out. How did everybody else look?
You know, Jonah Williams had one very nice block today. He had an overall solid day, and there was one kind of wow moment with him making a chip and then kind of going to the outside. Very impressive. You know, on the left, it's been a lot of Michael Jordan. It's been some Quentin Spain. Jackson Carmen's been on the left. You know, there aren't really sides yet in some cases, but overall offensive guard play remains an area that is not a strength though. I think we can clearly say after the first day of training camp.
Not great news for them if you think about the offensive line, and then obviously pointing back to the 2020 season, a lot of training camp preseason left to play before they do get to regular season. We'll flip to wide receivers right now because you could give credit to the secondary or you could say this might be a problem right now. Look, I don't overreact when it comes to training camp. I still feel like you can't really measure a football team until you get into regular season. They'll get a few reps in preseason to be determined if Joe Burrow will play in any preseason games at all. When you look at that connection right now, were there some concerns with the wide receivers and Burrow?
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to say. There's nothing that could happen in training camp that would make me think the Bengals are going to have a bad offense this season. I still think the Bengals have one of the very best wide receiving corps plus running back in the NFL, and I still think they have their quarterback in Joe Burrow. I have only my only concern is with the results right now. Let me elaborate a little bit. T. Higgins 1,000% looks the part. I tweeted earlier today, he looks like he's going to be the next step for him is a red zone threat and touchdowns and physicality in those short spaces and his ability to catch fades. And I fully expect for him to get there. Ja'Marr Chase is able to do so much, both in the middle of the field with his speed and outside the numbers with his physicality and hand strength. And that showed. And then of course, Tyler Boyd, one of the most fun matchups in camp is him versus Mike Hilton, one of the better slot cornerbacks in the NFL going at it. Hilton's so quick, he's able to keep up with Tyler Boyd's jukes and his ability to get in space, plus his hands are what set him apart. So it's not concerned with that unit overall. It's just concerned with the results from the wide receivers as a whole right now and the offense's inability to get a real explosive play during training camp. Where that blame lies, that's the big question right now.
And we got to talk about the guy, number nine. Obviously, with this offensive line dealing with a little bit of injuries right now, wide receivers going up against an upgraded secondary. How has Joe Burrow looked in the last couple of days?
You know, he looks frustrated. He set out in the offseason to improve his deep ball, improve his velocity, create more explosive plays, get plays outside the numbers. And in training camp right now, those plays aren't happening. And when was the last time Joe Burrow didn't do exactly what he wanted to on a football field? So again, that's important to keep in mind. Joe Burrow's track record and everything that's led him here to this point. It's the first week of training camp, and today was the first day with pads. And I'm not sounding the panic button. I'm just saying the results have been very, very, I guess, frustrating for Burrow is the best way to put it, and very much not at the level that you expect them to perform at the regular season. There was one point where it looked like the Bengals were trying to get a drive together, and the drive just didn't come together. And again, where that blame falls is what I'm going to be looking for, and the answer I'm going to be trying to figure out as training camp continues this week.
Plenty of questions, short and sweet, training camp. Charlie, we'll have you covered over on Cincinnati.com, and we'll have another podcast coming out later in the week to see how this offense, if they finally got it going together. But really, it's just how you look at it. Glass half full, glass half empty. Obviously, it's a good thing the defense is looking a little bit better out there. We won't know until regular season, but Charlie still has more to say. What do you need to say?
Just one more thing. This could change tomorrow. That's the other part of this too. Tomorrow, Joe Burrow could completely go out, throw for the equivalent of 300 yards in training camp yards, hit T. Higgins on a deep ball down the sideline, find Ja'Marr Chase for a big play over the field, and hit Tyler Boyd outside the numbers. All of these things could change incredibly quickly as Joe Burrow gets more and more comfortable and more confident. But that just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, anything can happen. Honestly, don't hit the panic button just yet. Obviously, over a week and a half into training camp, plenty of things can happen with this offense, and I think it will. Charlie, what else is up there on Cincinnati.com?
I have a story up today on the five most interesting players this week in training camp. And, of course, more to come every day. There is a fascinating offense going on right now in Cincinnati.
Check it out, Cincinnati.com. Follow along on Twitter, ENQ Sports, over on Instagram, ENQ Bengals, and we'll be back later this week on the Bengals Beat Podcast.